I played Kansas City Pride. That was my first show. And I was like, cool, this is going to be low key, right? Like, it's just a stage off to the side. No, it was the main stage and it was huge. And I was so nervous. But I got up on stage and like, I'd never had this like calming feeling on stage. I'm a very anxious person. And then I got on stage and I felt completely okay.
That's pure ecstasy. I'm Jamie Green, and this is Trading Force.
I'm going to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. Oh, yeah.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. I'm your host, Jamie Green. And we have the musical act Pure Ecstasy in the house. Pure Ecstasy is a project by the multi-instrumentalist Taylor Hughes. Taylor dialed in from her house and would like to welcome her to Kansas City. She is a recent transplant here, originally from Baltimore, then had lived in New York City, but now she's calling Kansas City home. And that's good news for us because she's super talented. The new EP that she has coming out, or actually just came out, is called Bad Dreams. And it's all about toxic relationships and how you end those. And I think that's a pretty universal thing, right? I mean, everybody's going to get your heart broken at some point. So great to talk to Taylor. She's a ton of fun. We had a great chat. And I think you're going to really dig this. So, you know what? Let's just get started. Here is my conversation with Pure Ecstasy's Taylor Hughes. I always think a good place to start is with the Kansas City connection. I see that you came from New York. So Taylor, what made you want to come to Kansas City?
Wow. So I moved a lot in the last couple of years. So I'm actually originally from Baltimore, Maryland.
All right.
And my band X Nations was Brooklyn based. So I moved to the New York Metro after we had done tour, the Pink Haze tour. And that was the first time I'd been to Kansas City on that tour. I was like, this is one of the best shows of the tour. We need to go back to Kansas City. And that's how I had really thought about it. And then my now fiance is actually from Kansas City.
That's how it happened.
Oh. And she moved to be with me on the East Coast right as COVID had hit.
Okay.
And that was not a good introduction to the New York Metro. So we moved to Kansas City in February. So now I'm here full time.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. You know, my wife's a Kansas City native, so that's why I'm here. I've been, she and I have been a couple since 1994 and from a big family. And I just had Ty Tabor on. I don't know. He's the King's X guitarist. He's lived in Kansas City now for 10 years because his wife's from here. So I guess what I'm telling you is that you are following a path that many of us have found ourselves in. So
the Kansas City love connection.
There you go. It's like a dating show almost, right?
I love it.
So let's talk
about— Where are you from?
I grew up in Lincoln, Nebraska, which is only 3 hours from
here.
But I've been here since July of 94. I've been here a long time.
You're a local now.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about Baltimore. Cause you know, I'm gonna be honest. The only thing I've done in Baltimore is flown into BWI.
Okay.
And the only thing I know about Baltimore, and you're probably going to slap me through the phone, is The Wire, which is one of my favorite TV shows ever. But you know, The Wire is not like— they're not going to put that in the Chamber of Commerce, you know, come visit Baltimore, right? It's not like— it's not a very— how would you put it? It's not like a very nice—
it's accurate
version, but it's accurate.
Yeah, but it's accurate.
Okay.
Oh, there's parts of the city I love. It's known as Charm City, and it has a very cool art scene there. Growing up as a musician in Baltimore definitely helped shape me. I've been playing shows for like— I'm going to date myself— for almost 20 years now.
Okay.
Like, I've been in a band since middle school. Like, clearly I have this disease. Like, it's just, it's what I'm supposed to do. But I don't know. The art scene there makes up for how scary it is.
Well, that's great.
Does that sound bad?
No, that doesn't sound bad at all. You know, I'm just a huge David Simon nerd. I just love his TV shows. I love Treme too. I don't know if you saw Treme, but that was about New Orleans. Uh-huh. And it's all about the musicians in New Orleans and then coming out of Katrina. It's a great show. I would highly recommend it too. But cool. I just, you know, people always like— so for instance, I'm from a college town in Nebraska, but people always like, what do you— you know, you're a Cornhusker. Like, you should— and I'm like, no, my dad was a college professor. I've never been on a farm. I know nothing about farm, you know, but people make those things. So I'm like, I'm thinking for you, that's got to be kind of hard because like just me being a schmo just was like, well, I know about The Wire, but there's a lot more to a city than just a TV show is what I guess I'm getting.
Yeah. No, you're all good. I get that so much. When I say Baltimore, it's either John Waters,
oh, I
The
forgot
Wire.
Right.
Or what else?
The National Anthem.
I think that's pretty much it. Very true. We National do have Anthem. That.
The Ravens. Yeah. You probably get some sports people, right?
Yes. And where I used to live, it's actually, I don't know if you're an Edgar Allan Poe fan.
But oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's actually buried two blocks from where I used to live. So that was kind of cool. Like, it's one of those creepy above ground, like not quite a mausoleum, but like New Orleans style graves.
Right.
So that's kind of cool. And like the house he grew up in is still there. So it's got a lot of history. So
yeah, I need to get there. I, on the East Coast, the only cities I haven't actually been to are that and Philadelphia. I've been everywhere else. I need to get on it. I know. It's sad.
You need to get some crabs and then go get a cheesesteak afterwards.
Yeah, I got to get on it. Well, you know, I'm a huge history nerd, so you'd think I would have, especially with Philadelphia and all that went on there, but I just haven't had a chance. I've been to we have friends and family in New York. And we love going to New York for like a long weekend, right? It's such much it's so much fun. So I've been to New York, I don't know how many times. So I need to break the chain and go to Baltimore and go to Philadelphia. So where were you in New York?
I was actually in Jersey City.
Okay.
Right before I left. It was way more affordable.
Oh,
and it was actually closer to Manhattan than Brooklyn. Like at least the commute was. So I actually really liked Jersey City. They were making it like a mini Brooklyn, a mini affordable Brooklyn, if you could imagine it.
So do you take the Lincoln Tunnel over? Do you take a train over? How do you get from Jersey City into Manhattan?
So you could drive, you could do the Lincoln or the Holland Tunnel. That was closer to where I was. Like the Holland Tunnel was less than a mile from where I was living. But I would take the PATH train in, and that links you right. Anywhere you want to go. Like it drops you off in either Meatpacking District or you could do like Midtown, but I really hated dealing with the tourists. So I would purposely skip over Midtown. Like I will get off anywhere else.
Times Square is kind of like a special kind of hell, isn't it? Right. I mean, it's like everything you hate about America is kind of in Times Square, right? It's like a Chili's. It's like, oh my God, shitty food and like the supposed, you know, the naked cowboy and all that. Some, you know, some Elmo trying to get you to, and I was like, get away from me. So I don't like Times Square at all. So
no one does.
No, I don't think any New Yorker ever goes there.
No. When my fiance came to visit, I took her there just to say that she could go there, but even she didn't want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that tells you anything.
We took our kids cause they just had, you know, cause it's such a big part. Everybody hears about it.
You have to see it.
And I said, man, if this doesn't show that we love our kids, I mean, it's like you get a headache. Anyway. So, well, we should talk about music. That's why what this podcast is about. I'm sorry. I kind of got us off on a thing. So I got to hear your EP. Nobody's Home. It's really, I'm always really impressed when people can make something that has so many layers and so much, I don't know how you would describe it, but it's very rich to the ear. Does that make sense?
That's cool. Thank you.
Yeah, because you like, I mean, it's always like a color palette, right? There's all these like, it's an audio color kind of thing where you hear things and you're like, oh, that's really cool. And how did she weave that in with that? And so Let's talk about that. So your picture, I saw you had a Fender guitar in here, but you're obviously very adept at keyboards and stuff. So what all do you play?
So primarily I'm a drummer. Okay. I've been playing drums for 17 years and that's just what I've always wanted to do. I was in piano lessons from like fourth grade and on, cause my mom really wanted me to be able to read music. But my first instrument was technically guitar, but I threw the guitar down as soon as I got a drum kit, to be honest. It was just what it always called to me. I play bass guitar, not well, but I have like the movement for it as a drummer. Like I know what it's supposed to sound like. And if I can't get it to sound right on a bass guitar, I will do it on a bass synth. So that's why you hear so much synthetic bass in the songs. What else do I play? Violin and cello, because I was that kid in school, but those aren't really in my repertoire anymore.
So you're like an orchestra nerd.
Yes, I was.
Well, see, I was a band. I was a band nerd. So you're in a safe space. I had to play trombone growing up. So, I mean, is there anything uncooler than the trombone? I don't think so.
I was really hoping for sax.
Oh my God. Yeah. Right. That's so much.
That would have been cool.
But the sax, my dad not only was a jazz musician, but he also was a high school band director stuff. So the reason why I had to play the trombone is because he had a spare one and he didn't want to buy an instrument. And I never wanted to play it. I never liked it. I didn't want to be in there. So funny. And the day that I graduated from high school, I sold it and bought a guitar. And he was like, "You sold that?" I was like, "Yeah, I did."
That's so funny. What kind of guitar did you get?
First guitar, it was like a Fender knockoff if it wasn't a Fender, right? Do you go through that too? Where like you're like, "I'm gonna buy something real cheap," and you're like, "Oh my God, it won't stay in tune. It sounds like shit. The strings are this far off the—" I don't know why I'm doing this for an audio podcast, but it's like 3 inches off the fretboard. I can't even possibly put my hand, you know. And then you're like, "Okay." So then I bought a 1990 Ibanez 540S guitar, and I actually still have that guitar.
They're built so well.
Yeah,
Ibanez.
Yeah, and it sits there, and I can't get rid of it. It's like my personal journey with it. You know, like all the shows and
things
like that with it. So. You get attached to things like that, right?
Absolutely. You never sell the guitar. That's like the one thing that people always say that they regret is when they sell their guitar, even if they don't play it anymore, even if they got something better, you just don't sell it. Unfortunately, I've had to learn that, but
yeah,
we all go through it. Like, you know, I want to upgrade, so I have to sell it.
Yeah. Those connections are interesting. So there was just an article in the New York Times about, the guy from the Guess Who, and I can't remember his name. I think it was Burton Cummings. I don't remember, but he had his guitar stolen in like 1978. And then some sleuth on the internet found it. And some Japanese guy was playing it in Tokyo and it's the same guitar. And like, so they're going to do a guitar exchange and he's going to get his guitar. And he said he'd been pining for, I mean, it was like 1975 when it got stolen. Like it's been,
wow.
Isn't that interesting?
I'll send you
the story when we get down. So drum, who were you influenced by then, Taylor? Like, you like, who do you listen when you're first starting out? And they're like, "Man, I really dig their groove," or "I dig how they beat the shit out of the drums," or whatever spoke to you, right?
Yeah. So the first few bands that I was listening to as I was learning drums, The Strokes' "Room on Fire" was iconic for me. Like, I think I can still play that front to back from just muscle memory. Mm-hmm. Silver Sun Pickups, "Carnivus." I was really obsessed with that drummer style. Like, I don't think I had heard anyone play that way. And he played with a cymbal way up here. So of course, me being in high school, I've like copied everything he did. I, you know, obsess. Radiohead was a big one. Just their grooves are so unnatural and good. So those were my like few big ones at the beginning of my little musical journey.
Well, those are all good ones. So, I mean, you got good taste, right?
Thanks.
So I'm happy to hear that you're engaged, because I read your press thing and it was all about a horrible relationship and a breakup. So apparently things have gotten better.
Things have gotten better. I had to go through a really crappy relationship to get to the good one. You know how that goes.
Oh yeah. Believe me.
You had to live the nightmare before you could, you know, be happy. So that's what I did. And I'm like, man, this would make for some good content to, you know, really let go of being bitter for being treated poorly. And, you know, it's funny because I'll be sitting in our like cute little home together, and then I'll go back into the studio and write some really deep, dark, depressing stuff. And then she's like, "Oh, I made you dinner." I'm like, "Oh, life is so good." But in there, like, I have to get in a weird headspace to kind of write in retrospect.
No, I don't. How much money has Taylor Swift made writing about all of her bad relationships, right?
Very true.
I mean, Adele's new album, that's all about her divorce.
That's true. And she's so happy now. Like, you see her in all the press, like smiling. And yep, then you listen.
New boyfriend, right?
Yeah, going to NBA games and Louis Vuitton. Like, I'm hoping for that kind of turnout, you know?
What's the plan? I mean, obviously COVID has made everything terrible for musicians, but I did see that you played here a little bit. Do you want to tour a bunch? Do you want to play here in town a bunch? What would be your ideal 2020
2022. It's hard to believe. It's almost 2022. Can you believe it?
I know, right? It's so weird. The year has flown. So I played Kansas City Pride. That was my first show.
Right.
And I was like, cool, this is going to be low key, right? Like, it's just a stage off to the side. No, it was the main stage and it was huge. And I was so nervous. But I got up on stage and like, I've never had this like calming feeling on stage. I'm a very anxious person. And then I got on stage and I felt completely okay. It was a very wild feeling. It was a large crowd and I was like out of body. So I have my release show coming up on the 13th at Mini Bar, if you're around.
Yeah, I'll come out and say hi.
That'd be cool. I'll hit Jamie up with the info for that so she can send it along to you.
No, I would love it. I'm trying to come out. I'm so bad. There's so many people that I talk to and I was like, I've got to come out and see you play.
It'll be fun.
No, I love live music, man. It was like a pit in my stomach for a long time. I didn't get to go to any live shows. And it's just like, it's one of my little happy places, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just getting to see somebody perform and kind of getting out of the world for an hour and a half. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. And then the weekend after that, I'll actually be playing in Omaha.
Okay.
So that'll be fun.
Just an hour from my hometown. So you're
yeah.
Close. I'll make my sister's still up in Omaha. I'm going to make her come to your show.
It's going to be an interesting one. It's queer night at the Sydney in Benson.
Oh,
and
Benson's
it's cool.
Yeah, Benson, it's so cool. Interesting. So my dad was the high school band director of Benson in the 1960s.
Very cool.
And at the time, Benson was like the premier high school of Omaha. We talk, it's kind of like The Wire. You can get into the whole politics and race and stuff. So, you know, they integrated the schools and they bussed the kids and all that stuff. And he had left by that point, but it really went downhill. But now it's like this cool hip vibe again. Like it's like this really cute neighborhood and it's got a real cool vibe to it and stuff. And they're beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful part of town. So I'm really glad to see that it's coming back up, but yeah, it went from like up here to way down there. And now it's back there. So no, you'll like it.
Yeah, I've heard good things. I heard there's like a lot of cool breweries and things like that to check out. So I'm just going to make a weekend of it. You know, it's so close.
Yeah, 3 hours. It's not like East Coast traffic.
I've noticed that, but gosh, everyone out here drives so slow. It's so weird trying to adjust to that, like the slower pace. And my stress levels are down when, you know, when I'm out and about, like people are so nice. Oh, I can't get over that. I remember maybe it was right when I moved here. Somebody held the door open for me and I was just so like, oh my God, they're so nice. And my fiance Erica was like, that's just how people are here. Do you see why I was, you know, just so I can't even remember the word that she used for it, but just like almost appalled at how rude and like fast paced people are. I'm like, you know, you could be out leisurely shopping, but you're still in a rush and rude, you know, not me, but you know, the general public there. And it's just people here will stop and have a conversation with you. And it's so nice.
And actually interested, right?
That helps. Yeah.
Well, I love New York, but I kind of laughed because they were like after 9/11 for a while, they were like, oh, it's the new New York and we're going to be so nice and touchy feely. And that lasted for about 3 years. And then they just went back into being New Yorkers, which is fine. But
yeah,
you just have to be expected. You know, they're going to tell you what they think pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And don't think you're good. In fact, you want to hear my funny New York story about being a Midwesterner? So it was one of the trips to New York. I think our kids were with us. And so we call an Uber and we get in the guy's car and he's like, where are you guys from? And I said, Kansas City. And he looks up down, he goes, you have the highest rating by far I've ever seen for a passenger on an Uber. And I said, what is it? And it's like 4.95 or something. And he's like, he's like, whoa, it's so nice. So we had this really great conversation and it was just funny. He was just so taken aback because I'm sure that, you know, they probably get downgraded because people are rude or they're late or they don't show up or they're not nice or they don't tip. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he was so amazed about it. And I was like, no, just try to be nice. It's not that hard.
Right? Yeah. Oh my God, I want to check my rating when I finish this.
Right.
I'm scared.
I may have gloated over my wife that mine's about, you know, 0.04 higher than hers. I may have let her know. Right.
Wow.
We've been married for 23 years, so it's all good. So what do you like? Is it just the slow pace? How long have you been here now?
I've been here since February.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously it's not regular time in Kansas City, but like, what are you digging about it? Just the niceness? Are there places you like to go eat? Are there bars you like to have a drink in? What are you digging?
All of the above. Talking about bars, I love how affordable it is to drink. That gives me the chance to check out a lot more places. I really like Lucky Boys in the West Bottoms. I've been to the Ship a few times. I love the spaciousness. That's like a big thing KC has going for it. Like, there's so many little hole in the walls in New York that I love, but like, it would have been nice to be able to move in there. I like Kansas City space, which sounds really weird to say. Even the roads are a lot wider. It feels a lot less claustrophobic. Trying to think of other bars. High Dive, I go to a lot. Have you been to King G's yet?
No, where's that?
Opened,
where is it?
In the Crossroads. And okay. It's like a New York deli kind of shop.
Okay.
Bomb sandwiches. And the bar is beautiful. Like super plant heavy and just modern. Love that.
Check it out.
Yeah. It's right by Mission Taco, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, now you're really speaking my language. Right.
That's where I love Mission Taco.
Yeah.
I
could eat a taco every day for like 2 years before I would get sick of it.
100%.
It's like the perfect food. Well, I appreciate getting to talk to you. I really dug the EP. For people that are listening to you for the first time, what's the best way for them to follow you? Like, are you a Facebook person? Are you a TikTok person? Are you an Instagram person? What do you like to update?
I am an Instagram person. Okay. You can follow me at Pure Ecstasy Music, XTC.
Yeah, so let's talk about your name a little bit, because Pure Ecstasy, that's a very uplifting, positive kind of vibe, just hearing that, right? And
that's cool.
Yeah, it is. And then your description of yourself was like, what did you call yourself? I want to get this right. I'm going to get this wrong. Like a self-loathing... What did you say?
I don't know if I said that, but it's accurate.
But there's something about you that you said about yourself. And I was like, that's not as happy as Pure X. I'm not going to find it now. I'll have to look it up. But
I can't remember. But it's kind of sarcastic. Like,
okay, good.
Oh, like people will ask like how you're doing. And when you're so depressed and just like drained, you don't even know what to say to people anymore. You could do the typical like live in the dream,
yeah,
or you could just, you know, yeah, I'm doing great.
Good. Like, oh, doing great, man.
Yeah. Yeah. My response would be like, oh yeah, I'm living in pure fucking ecstasy right now. Like,
so that's I'm glad I asked. That's funny. So what's it like since I'm about the whitest, straightest, oldest, I mean, shit, I had one of my ancestors is on the Mayflower. I mean, most of my ancestry is Scottish and English with a little bit of Irish. And I think a little bit of sweet. I mean, I'm like the most boring thing. So what's it like for a younger artist, you know, for you to perform and be in this town, and have people been welcoming? I mean, I don't know. I'm not in that scene, but what's it like for you?
It has been so welcoming, especially the queer community here.
Yeah.
You know, being a new artist, like I had one song out and they're like, do you want to play like Pride? And I got to play main stage and, you know, people were throwing undergarments while I was on stage. Yeah, it was wild.
Kind of jealous. I'm 53. I don't hundreds of shows. Nobody's ever thrown anything at me ever. Kind of sad.
You can just pop up on stage and just catch them for me. I'm just kidding. I had a bra like on the microphone stand like by
That's
the
cool,
end of Pride. So that was pretty wild. But people have been cool. I think 2021 is the time for not only female musicians, but women of color to start, you know, making a stance for whatever they're trying to do, whether it's creative or in the professional world. I feel like this door has kind of been opened where people are ready to listen. So I'm very fortunate to launch in this time period.
Yeah, because, you know, and I think everybody realizes this, but I think there's been kind of like an exhale. I mean, 2020 was a really dark place for everybody, obviously, yeah, for my, but I mean, we, you know, here with the demonstrations and, you know, I don't even want to talk about Trump because I just kind of want to pretend like that never happened.
Yeah, same.
Right. And then you're kind of like, hey, we're going to get out of this. And then it's like, oh, you know, we're in a pandemic. Yeah. We're not getting out of that. So it's like, it's going to be kind of weird, like how we kind of get on with our lives and how we, I mean, I've been really, I have, there's this dichotomy. Part of me I've seen, like, so my sons are 19 and 17. And for them, being gay is like somebody's hair color. They don't care. They don't think about it. It's no big deal. It's just like, I mean, it's so great. I mean, it's yeah, come so far. My best friend is gay. He couldn't even tell any of us he was gay for, I don't know, a long time. Mm. Like, you know, it yeah, was, you just couldn't do that back then. It's sad. So yeah, I see these things that make me hopeful. And I'm like, oh, great, you know. But then there's just like this whole, for lack of a better term, like asshole. There's a lot of dicks in the world. Like people do like really mean things and say nasty things and things. So I don't, you know, I'm kind of curious how we come out of this. Do you have that kind of same thing too? Like part of you is like, I'm kind of excited, but then you're also like a little worried about this country sometimes. Like, what do you feel?
Just stress and anguish. I mean, honestly, like we'll have like bits of hopeful news and like steps forward. And then you hear something and you're like, cool, now we're three steps back. It's just been this kind of like teetering thing. I feel like since 2020, like so many great things have happened. And, you know, I feel like people are more appreciative for just like everyday things, like stepping outside without a mask on mm-hmm, would be incredible, you know, and like it's gotten a little looser, especially with a lot of people being vaccinated. And now it's nice that they've at least opened venues and things like that to vaccinated people and you don't have to wear a mask, but you still have that weird like underlying, like it's still there. You can still get COVID. Like I had it while I was vaxxed and, you know, thankfully it wasn't as bad as it could have been, but I'll tell you, like it was right before my first performance and it was really hard to keep my breath on stage. Not to get dark in COVID, but I don't know, just having those daily simple pleasures back, I think people are still hopeful for that.
Yeah, I see that. And, you know, it's just so nice as I sit here and, you know, the fact like you came to this town and they were welcoming and they invited you to be part of Pride. And you know, as I yeah, get older, I just have never understood, like I try to be, as the older I get, nicer, right? Like, it's like kindness is, there's this really thing that says that kindness doesn't cost a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always amazed that people decide like, nope, I'm not going that route. I'm just going to be an asshole. You know, like there's just, so it's nice to see that. I'm glad Kansas City has been very welcoming to you. I'm glad that you are feeling, I'm glad that Erica is from here and that you came here. I'm glad for all those things, right? Cause
yeah.
And that's going to feed into your creative process, correct?
For sure. The last song, I don't know if you could recall it, Old Wounds. Mm-hmm. It's like the only happy one on the record. And like, that's all about her and coming here. Like the Western pointed compass is kind of like a nod to coming out to the Midwest. And, you know, it's been good. And that song kind of like leads into like the next chapter, mm, you know, like when you're wrapping up like a limited edition series or something like that. And it wraps up the season, but it leaves room for more. If that makes sense.
Oh, so totally.
It's going to be a little lighter. Like there's still going to be like some edges to it, but I don't know. I think it's a more hopeful space to be writing in now. I got all of that out of my system, which is nice.
That's great. So I actually like, I mean, I didn't dislike any, but the song Matches. So with the Pistol, tell me about Pistol P.
I met Pete. Erica had some friends come in town from Colorado, and I was meeting her for the first time. It's her maid of honor, so I was like very nervous to meet her. I'm like, I just want her to like me, kind of thing. And oh my god, we all got pretty trashed, and Pete was there, and we were just like, man, it'd be cool to do a song together. Neither of us had heard each other before, by the way. We had just vibed, like we were playing pool and I think drinking like some terrible beer, like Hams or something like that.
Oh my god. Oh
yeah, never again.
The next day you were really feeling horrible, but yeah, go ahead.
Oh my god, some Hams. It's the first time I'd ever heard of them. That's mind terrible. You
right.
Oh god. But we were just like, we connected on a personal level, and we're like, we should just do some music together. And he came over without hearing anything still, and I played him the song, and we wrote the verse in the room together, and he recorded it and left, and I was like, I think this is gonna be cool.
No, I dug it. That's the thing, the greatest joy I find in music is collaborating.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And
there's this like, especially when like they bring something that like, oh, I would have never thought of that kind of thing, right? And you're absolutely. Like, hey, that's really cool, and that feeds you. Right? Feed your soul. Like you're like, hey, I can do something with that.
Yeah. It was really cool because I really miss working with people. Now that I'm solo, like I lean a lot more on my producer for, you know, that like a sounding board, for lack of better words. And having Pete come over and like gas me up a little, like, oh, this sounds good. You should try this and do this. Like, it was really, really refreshing. Because I hadn't been in a room with another musician for a long time at that point. You know, everything has been remote.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. We rehearsed out in my garage because I have a 4-car garage. I didn't put it in the house. It was right there. So I could put my 3 bandmates and me like literally like 50 feet apart from each other.
Oh, that's sick.
But then it got kind of cold. Yeah. You're like, I got little space heaters for everybody, but it got really ridiculous. Yeah. But we did the parking lot tour. That was the tour, you know, like every parking lot in Kansas City at some point we played, it seemed like, because that was the thing you could do and not feel like you were going to kill anybody or kill yourself or.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. That's so cool. Now, and then we played one indoor show in June, because right in June, you're like, hey, the world, it's going to be over. It's great. We're all vaccinated. Yeah. And like, yeah. And like, well, that was it. That was the only one. But
yeah. Oh,
it's deep breaths, right? Deep breaths.
I know. So. It'll all be fine. Wait, was there any wood? I'm like, it can't get any worse.
Right. You know? Yeah. Knock on that wood. Yeah. So last question, is your family cool with all this about you being a musician? Are they cool about you coming to Kansas City? Or are they, what's the fam think?
Oh my gosh. Well, my mom is like my best friend, like legit best friend. And that's where a lot of the content for the EP actually came from, because she was fighting breast cancer, and then I went on tour, and then I moved, and I'm like, oh, did I abandon my mom? And it was a whole lot. Now she's all better, and yeah. You know, she's gonna come out to KC soon. She was nervous about me moving out at first, because she's like, it's kind of weird, like you moved to New York City, you know, to follow your dream and to do all of this stuff, and what are you gonna do in Kansas City? She was nervous about me leaving, because at that point I was still in a band, and I just kind of felt like the band was up in the air, especially with the pandemic. And I was just ready for something new. I'm like, you know, I think it'll be fine if I move and I just start writing music on my own. And it took a few times of like sending my mom songs for her to actually be like, oh, wow, this is okay. You're going to be okay. I didn't know you could sing. I'm like, I didn't either. Like, I'm still working on that part. That's like my least competent area, I think, because it's just so new. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're pretty cool with it. And they love Erica. They're like, oh my God, this is the first normal girl you've ever been with. Thanks, guys. But so that's her, their compliment. Oh, she's cute and normal.
Thanks, y'all. Oh, that's great. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad your mom's doing well too. I mean, that's great. You. So yeah. It's so nice to have those family connections with music. It's just such a cool thing. So in absolutely. Fact, the last band I had, which this episode hasn't come out yet, but it will by the time yours come out. it's this band, Belle and the Vertigo Waves, and her lead guitar player is her dad. And I was like, that's the coolest thing ever.
That's so cool.
Isn't that neat? I was like, that is so cool that you would, because, you know, my kids are like, ugh, especially my older son, oh, your dad band. What is your dad band always practice? You know, because he's 19. Like, what's more uncool when you're 19 than your dad? So I was like, that's so cool that you and your dad are in a band. What's that?
Does he play?
He's a really good singer. He's got a lead singer voice. So he does a lot of choir stuff, and he plays a little bit of piano.
Oh, very cool.
We're cool. I mean, I took him to go see Living Color the summer. Like, that's our thing. We go to see concerts together. So we saw Living Color. I've taken him to see Soundgarden right before Chris Cornell killed himself, sadly. But we saw Soundgarden, took him to see Billy Joel. He told me that's, you know, because he's young. And he's like, Dad, I want to see Billy Joel before he dies. And I was like, something wrong with Billy Joel? And he's like, well, he's pretty old, Dad. I'm like, okay, we'll go see Billy Joel before he dies. It was like 5 years ago.
Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah. Paul McCartney. We drove down to Dallas to see Paul McCartney, and it was awesome. So,
wow. Anyway.
Just having that. It's nice that you and your mom have that connection. That's really cool.
Yeah. Parents are, it sucks that it takes you so long to realize that your parents are actually like really freaking cool. Like, her and I didn't get along until I was like 20, just because she's like, play basketball, stop playing your drums. Like, go to school for that. Like, you know, pushing me. And now she's like so on board with me being a musician. And, you know, I was talking about like not wanting to do it anymore. And she's like, you can't quit. Get it together. And I'm like, yeah, you're right.
That's awesome.
Parents are cool.
No, that's great. I'm still close with my mom. My mom's 89, and I talk to my mom all the time still. So
that's precious. So she's still in Lincoln?
She's still in the house I grew up in. She just she just gave up mowing her yard like last year. She is a badass. Like, you don't want to mess with my mom. My mom's like, dang, like the toughest person ever.
I love that.
Yeah, she taught fit. She had got a master's in phys ed in the 1950s. That was like, nobody did that back then. Like, I shot hoops with my mom. I didn't shoot hoops with my dad. I threw catch with my mom.
That's so cool. Yeah,
my dad was the trumpet playing, steak eating, cigarette smoking. You know, he wouldn't do an athletics. That wasn't his thing. So she was my jock friend. So yeah, it was very cool.
I love it. Original feminist.
Absolutely. And man, that's why people are always like, why? And I was like, man, she would have beaten the shit out of me if I didn't treat, you know, women, you know, she would have like, get on it, kid. What are you doing? Right?
Yeah. And so, she could have.
Oh, totally. She was the arm wrestling champion in our family my dad could never beat her at arm wrestling.
Get it, girl. I love that.
Yeah. She still goes to the gym, dude. She still goes to the gym like 3 or 4 days a week. She's like one of my heroes. Cause that's like, that's how I want to be. So anyway,
yeah,
well, it's very nice to meet you.
You too.
I'm so glad this worked out. Welcome to Kansas City. Yeah, send me the stuff. I'll come out. Say hello.
Yes, very cool. Thank you so much for having me. This was fun. It's
very nice to meet you.
Amazing. Yes, you too. See you later.
Stay warm. It's gotten cold.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Bye bye.
Pure Ecstasy's Taylor Hughes. Super cool. It was really nice to talk to her and get to know her a little bit. And welcome to Kansas City, Taylor. It's really nice that you decided to make this home. I'm so happy that you're happy. I can say with 100% certainty, my wife has made my life a million times better. And she's my best friend, and she has been for a very long time. So I'm happy that you have found that too. It's a great thing. So, down in the show notes, you know what I'm going to tell you. You got homework, people. Check out Pure Ecstasy. There's a bunch of stuff for you to click on and come check out her shows when she's playing. That's great. Hey, you know what? It's going to be December for this next episode, which is crazy. And I'm just looking here, and I have next week a musician extraordinaire, Lyle Workman. And you're like, who's Lyle Workman, Jamie? And I'm going to tell you, have you seen the movie Superbad? You have 40-year-old virgin, right? Some of those type shows. Lyle is a composer who actually did the soundtracks for those movies and a lot others, and TV shows, you name it. And he's also toured with, oh, I don't know, Sting, Beck. He's fabulous and really cool guy. So he zoomed in from LA. That's 1 week from today. Until then, go out, support live music, and we'll talk real soon. Bye-bye. My feet were always going.